The first reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
John chapter 6, verses 22 to 40, extended version this morning. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you, If I could have the first slide up, please. Okay, there we are. So that's a verse in that reading, and I think it's personally the most outstanding verse in that reading, but it could be the most outstanding verse in the whole of John's Gospel. It's pretty good, pretty good. So I need a helper. My wife's not here. Is there a young person who wouldn't mind handing out some bread to people? Have I got a keen young person here? Or two? Must be. Come on then. One of you. I think the young man should come out, really, because he wants his sister to come out. But there we are. Well done you. So, now, everyone else knows your name, but I don't.
Lucy.
Hi, Lucy. Thank you. So this is focaccia bread. And it's bread with olive oil. It's nice bread. And I've counted up. I think there are 30 pieces there. We are a bit more than 30. But there is a bigger bit that could be broken up at the end. And it might be that some people don't want a bit. Some people, because of gluten things, might not want it. So would you mind distributing that? I hope it doesn't take you too long, but if you could go try everyone, if that's all right. You might give it to a pew and they'll pass it along or something. Is that all right? Thanks, Lucy. Can we give her a clap? Please, I think. And thank you for volunteering, Lucy's brother. Okay. So you will be offered a piece of bread. And it is connected to this service. actually, I've got one piece left. Perhaps I could get that in the bag. I did bring another loaf along. It's a nice cob loaf. White cob. But I don't think we'll be breaking into this one. But the thing is, I've got a farming background. And, for the camera, cob loaf. I'll put it on the altar. Because you probably, no one seems to know about this, but in ancient times, and probably until about 150 years ago, this Sunday, the first Sunday of August, was known as Lammas Sunday. And Lammas is Latin, it means loaf. So, Loafmas Sunday. And the tradition was that in your parish, someone who had got a wheat crop would have made bread from the first of the harvest. And it would be brought into church on Lammas Sunday, and for the communion service, people would actually have that bread in their communion service instead of a wafer or another form of bread. And because of my farming ground, probably, but I just think it's pretty special. What it means is we've reached the main harvest of the year, and that's still true today. Around now is the beginning of the wheat harvest. And because we've got a wheat harvest and other harvests, we know that we will have food for the next year. It's the beginning of it. It isn't all harvested, but we know that we've got there. There hasn't been a pestilence or a famine. And we have food enough to share for the year ahead. So I think it's a very special occasion. And for me, it's really nice to come here on this Sunday, just because of that as well. Okay, I'm going to talk about the passage we've had. This is doing a good job. Okay, thank you. So this reading, and the reason that's going to stay up there for the duration of what I say, oh, look, there's a bit left. Have you had any? You deserve two bits, really, I think. Or no, he wanted some. Okay. That's good. I'll take a bit over my wife. Okay. The context of this reading is that Jesus has just fed the 5,000 with loaves and fishes. The next day, a crowd follow him, not because they particularly want to be spiritual Christians, but because he gave them a free meal. And this is where the story picks up. A crowd of people thought, ooh, let's follow Jesus. We get free stuff from him. And Jesus says to them, well, before I say what he says to them, for them, eating was one of the most important things in life because they would not have been wealthy people. They would have lived hand to mouth. And so to get a free meal would have been very special for them. We don't tend to have the basic needs so much. Although in our country, more and more people do have very basic needs. But I want you just to think about what is the most important thing in life to you. What would you really go after to get? What do you feel like you need? Because that's what these people were doing. They were going after what they thought they needed. And Jesus did correct them. He obviously had fed them, and he would be concerned for anyone who was starving. But he didn't want people that were dependent on him for food. They could get a job. They could get a job in their society or get some support. So he wasn't out to just feed people. But he did feed them when necessary. Okay, so has anybody thought of something that seems like the most important thing in their life? What they really go after? You don't have to, but if anyone's bold enough to say out loud anything that you think, well, that's the most important thing in life, that's what I go after.
Sleep.
Well, at that certain times of life, yeah, I understand that. Water. Water, yeah, okay. Sorry, I didn't get it. Alex. Your pet. Okay. Lots of things, lots of different things. At the previous service, now I'm sorry I was slightly late because I'd been to Wolverton and it seemed a rush to get here on time. Sorry about that. But someone said love. That's what I go after, love. And I thought, well, that's a good one, isn't it? Good relationships. But some people go after things that are not so important, such as looking great. And that actually does occupy some people's lives. But it's much more important what's going on inside, and that's what Jesus says. Not just day-to-day food. This is the thing, particularly at that time. Okay. So, my dad, who was a farmer, and started with very little and had times of fit hand to mouth, he would have said the most important thing in life is survival. And some of you might relate to that. Just getting through. Okay. And maybe we might be a bit like these people and be consumers, and our advertising industry wants us to be more and more or bigger and bigger consumers of things. Now, life can be very much just things that we go after. Okay. We need things, but things can be more important to us than they should be. And they can become an obsession. So, Jesus says to these people, I have come to give you they asked for bread. He says, I've come to give you a new kind of food. A food that will last and will lead you to eternal life. So, food that will help you get right through this life and into the next life. And it will be better in the next life. It's eternal life, which speaks of quality of life. A better quality of life than this life. Now, we can make food last these days better than they could make food last in those days. They could put salt with the fish and things like that to preserve them. And they could dry things, like dried tomatoes and so on. But we can freeze things, can't we? And you can freeze something, and hundreds of years it might still be edible. But Jesus isn't talking about that sort of food. But he's talking about different kind of food that can last forever. And the crowd say, well, what do we have to do to get that kind of food? And Jesus says to them, you need to believe in me. You need to trust in me. You need to give your heart to me, which is what trust actually leads to in an ultimate sense. And the people said, well, we need a sign to believe in you. Moses gave us bread from heaven. So they're back to food. And Moses helped the people of Israel get through the desert over a 40-year period, and they had this food called manna that was on the ground in the mornings when they got up, and it fed them for 40 years. Jesus said, well, it was God that gave you manna back then, but it wasn't really Moses. But if you come to me, you will never be hungry, and if you believe on me, you will never be thirsty. So that goes back to the water one as well. It's like he's speaking of the most basic need we have, which is the need for God. Because when I was, it's 49 years ago, I was a consumer. I was into experiences and being popular. That seemed to be the thing that drove my life, right? And there's nothing wrong with wanting to be liked, and there's nothing wrong with getting the things you need and enjoying other things as well sometimes. But I was on my own, and I put my trust in Jesus. And that particular day, I felt different as a result. I felt like I'd come home. Jesus says, you won't be hungry, you won't be thirsty. I felt like I'd come home. I found my heart was filled with something that wasn't there before. And I've had that experience every day from then till now, to some degree or other. And it's because I'm not alone. God's with me. I'll come home. And so that's what Jesus is saying. Put your trust in me and all will be well for you. Things might get horrible in life, but God will be with you and he'll get you through. And actually, he will grow you as a result of things. He will be with you all the step of the way and get you into the next life. Okay. So, you might say, okay, well, I've done that. I've trusted in Jesus. But what I'll say to you is, when did you last trust in Jesus? Because it's an ongoing thing. C.S. Lewis said, relying on God has to begin over again every day, as if nothing had ever happened. I'm not sure I go quite as far as him to say that, but it's certainly true that we do need to keep putting our trust in Jesus to keep our lives as they should be, and as fresh as they should be, and as full of life as they should be. We need to keep doing it. We need to trust in Jesus, not just once, but keep trusting in him, and things will be the best they possibly can be in our lives. So I'm going to just keep it short, keep it simple. There's a prayer coming up, which you might like to say with me. You don't have to say it. But it's a prayer of putting your trust in Jesus. And you might like to say this prayer with me. You might have said a prayer like this many times before, but there's an opportunity to say it again. Refresh your faith in Jesus. Okay. I hope you can read it. I can read the screen, so if you'd like to join me, we'll say this prayer, which is doing exactly what Jesus is saying we should do in this reading. Okay. Dear God, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong, for my wrong thoughts, and for living without you. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me and took away my sins. I believe that he rose again from the dead. Please forgive me. Take control of my life, and with the help of your Holy Spirit, give me strength to live for you every day. In the name of Jesus, amen. And if you said that prayer for the first time, it would be really good if you told your parent or another Christian that you trust what you've done, and they can then help you to grow in your new faith. Okay. And if you say it again, well, bless you. God will strengthen you, I know, and help you. Whatever you're facing in life, I'm going to finish with a little poem which speaks of this. Here in the maddening maze and things, when tossed by storm and flood, to one fixed ground my spirit clings. I know that God is good. So, whatever you're going through, and if you put your trust in Jesus again, that will definitely help. God knows what you're going through, and he knows you fully, and he loves you fully, and he will get you through it. He might deliver you from it, but he will get you through it as you hang on to him. Amen.